Well, good morning. It's great to be in worship with you today in the building and those of you who are watching online. And thank you, BT, for leading us in a pretty special moment to pray for Patty as she meets with her biological mom. That's a significant piece, and we pray for God's restoration in that relationship. Now, before we dive into the message, there are a couple of things that I want to mention. The first one is that this is Memorial Day weekend, and we honor those who have given their lives in the service of this country through the military, those who have lost their lives protecting the liberties and the freedoms in this country. And so I know some of you have loved ones who have who lost their lives in battle in the protection of this country. My uncle is one of those individuals, and so we stand with you as a church family as you remember. I know some will probably be going to gravesides to remember, whether it's to put flowers or a flag, and as a church family and as friends, we stand with you as you walk through that time. That can be a very difficult period. It can be one where we remember legacy, but it can also be one where there's pain associated with that. So we want to honor those who have served and lost their lives as a result. The second thing that I want to share that, you know, the interesting thing is that the human heart has the ability to hold both joy and grief and pain at the same time. That's just the way God has created the human heart. And I experienced that over the last several weeks. One, my middle son, who we thought would never, ever, ever, ever get married, he got engaged. About 2 weeks ago, yeah. And the wedding is coming up pretty soon. And so we got a chance to be with him and his new fiance, Megan. And that's just such a great joy. We got a chance to surprise her. We were a part of that. And so that was really grateful for the ability to be able to hold that. And then by the same token, we're also holding the pain and grief of the last couple of weeks. Last couple of weeks, we, as a leadership team, we recognized that we needed to go through a process of restructuring our staff that resulted in a 20% reduction in our staffing budget. And that's a very painful and difficult process. And we did that for a couple of reasons. We did that first to kind of restructure our staff around our strategic values or buckets, which is grow. We want to see people grow in their relationship with Jesus. The second one is gather in space like this where we worship together as a family. And then the third is group together. We want to see people grow in their discipleship. And so we know that that best happens in groups. And then finally in the fourth bucket is go, and that is both globally and locally. And so, and then the second reason is over the last several years, there has been a reduction in our giving, significant reduction in our giving over the last several years. And we just knew that it was time. There's no way that we would be able to sustain where we are. So the leadership team made a decision to make those staff reductions. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that specifically next weekend, but I wanted to let you know that the sky is not falling, Trinity is not closing, and that sort of thing. In fact, I am more excited about where God has us and where God is gonna take us in days to come. But we'll tell you a little bit more about that down the road, actually next week, so you'll know a little bit more of where we are as a church. So I wanted you at least to know those two things. Again, honor those who have gone through in terms of Memorial Day weekend, and then that staff reduction or the staff restructuring piece. Now, I want to make a hard left, and we'll look at this last installment of our Kryptonite series. Today actually marks the last day, the last installment of the Kryptonite series. We started this series by saying, just like Kryptonite weakens Superman, there is certain Kryptonite that actually weakens our relationships with one another. Now, again, we said that this particular series is important because we know that we cannot be good disciples. The word disciple is we cannot be good learners and students of Jesus without good relationships. And if we want to have good relationships, then we must actually neutralize and demolish those actions and attitudes that weaken rather than strengthen our relationships. Our relationships with God and our relationships with one another. Healthy relationships are important to the process of discipleship and disciple making. Now, when we talk about discipleship, helping others to be like Jesus. Now, we simply cannot follow Jesus well without being attentive to our relationships. Now, we began this series by saying we were created for community and created for relationships. We were created from community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we were created for community with one another. That is who we are. But there are certain actions and attitudes that actually keep us from building community. There are attitudes and actions that actually create fissures in our relationships, thereby us not being able to have healthy relationships with one another. So we talked about certain actions and attitudes that actually impact community. We talked about how lying and shame and selfishness and hurtful words and broken promises and mind reading and unclear expectations actually create fissures in our relationship. It is the kryptonite in our relationship. But we're going to go on and finish up the series with one more form of kryptonite, and that is unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict in our relationships actually can be kryptonite and weaken our relationships with one another. Now, I want to start this by giving you an exercise. You should have a bulletin if you, as you walked in. Hopefully, you have one, and the exercise is going to be on the screen as well. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to circle. I'm going to give you about 30 to 60 seconds to do this. I want you to put a circle, or I want you to circle or put a check mark by the dirty fighting tactic that was common in your home growing up. Now, if your parents are here, just keep looking this way. If you're like don't bust them out, don't throw them under the bus. Just like this is serious, right? We when we dealt with conflict growing up, we practice dirty fighting, all right? So circle the dirty fighting tactic that you most commonly saw in your house growing up. Parents who are sitting here with their kids, like they're looking on their paper, like, what are you saying about us? What are you saying? So here it is, from silent treatment all the way down to showing contempt. Showing contempt is dishonoring the other person while dealing with conflict. So circle, put a check mark. You have about 30 to 60 seconds to do that. It'd be great to have like like Jeopardy music or something. But so go ahead and do that for a few seconds. And again, this is about being honest. This is about being honest with what you saw and what you saw growing up. This is a very, very important exercise. And the reason why this is a very, very important exercise is because our families of origin have taught us and discipled us to handle conflict in a certain way. Handle conflict in a certain way. We saw it mirrored, and inadvertently we pick it up. And here's the interesting thing. We come to Jesus and we expect, we say Jesus is our Savior. And then now we expect that somehow Jesus is going to download how to handle conflict. And supernaturally, because we are Christians, we now handle conflict in a way that's honoring and that is somehow that makes him smile. That somehow we don't practice dirty fighting anymore because I'm a Christian and I love Jesus and now the dirty fighting goes away. But the reality is this. The sad reality is this. Is that as followers of Jesus, we handle conflict poorly. Doesn't matter if we are, unless we submit our lives to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, we handle conflict poorly. I've handled it poorly, and I'm quite sure you've handled it poorly as well. We just simply don't deal with conflict constructively. We live in a cancel culture that if you are in conflict with me and I'm in conflict with you, I cancel you. If you put something on my Facebook page and I don't like it, I cancel you. If I put something out there you don't like, you cancel me. We live in a cancel culture. Instead of dealing with it, we ignore it and we push it under the rug. The truth is, we ask the question, why do we handle it so poorly? I think there are a couple of reasons why we handle, as particularly even as followers of Jesus, we handle conflict poorly. I'm going to give you two reasons. I'll give you the second one, then we're going to try to model the second one. The first reason is we have a wrong belief about peacemaking. We have a wrong belief about peacemaking. So we think that peacemaking is the same thing, or we think that peacekeeping is the same thing as peacemaking. Peacekeeping is, let me just keep the peace, smooth things over. I don't want to have this conflict, and we won't deal with it. We'll ignore it, and we'll avoid it. Peacemaking says, no, this is a tension in our relationship, and we actually need to deal with it. And so there are at least two scriptures where we sometimes misinterpret this. The first one is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, and this is what it says. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And then the second one, we get it from Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, in the Matthew 5 passage, let me just give you the context of this. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 talk about Jesus is teaching individuals who would be followers of Jesus, his followers. And he says, this is what life looks like when God is large and in charge of your life. This is what it looks like when God is reigning over as king of your life. And he gives a list. He goes through a sermon, and that sermon lasts for two chapters, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And part of that sermon is that peacemaking is one of the values of how we're to live when God is in charge. And when God is in charge, one of the results is that we will live at peace, number one, with God, I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, and with one another. That's one of the values of the kingdom of God, or when God is reigning and ruling over our lives. When he is empowering our lives, then we will be peacemakers and not just peace keepers. We will be peacemakers and not just peace fakers. Now, again, these values are very challenging. And in fact, I would encourage you to read the Sermon on the Mount on a regular basis, because these are the values that show up when Jesus is in charge of our lives. Now, when we look at this verse, that is the Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 verse, we think that, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus says he wants us to be pacifiers, and he wants us to be appeasers, and people who ensures that no one gets upset, and we are to keep the peace, ignoring difficult issues and problems, and making sure that things remain stable and serene. This is not what Jesus is saying at all. You see, when out of fear we avoid conflict and appease people, we become false peacemakers, or we become peace fakers instead of peacemakers. You see, peace is first and foundationally internal and spiritual. It's not physical, it's not military, and it's not political. It actually flows from inside outwardly. It is not about being a power broker. It's about being people lovers. So the promised kingdom of God, when we talk about reign and rule of God in our lives, it is Jesus giving us peace. Now when I say this peacemaker, there are two things that Jesus is saying here. The first one is this, is that Jesus wants to give us peace with God. Now, what that means is that the war between a holy God and unholy people like you and me, Jesus says, my death on the cross will now bring harmony between us and God. So that's first and foremost, and that only happens through the death of Jesus on the cross. It can't happen by doing good works. It only comes about when Jesus died, when Jesus died on the cross, and I receive him as Savior, when I receive him as my King, and I repent of my sins and give my life to him, at that moment, I now have peace with God, and I am a part of the family of God. Now, the second category, when we talk about peacemaking, not only is there peace with God, Jesus wants us to have peace with one another, God's children. So Jesus accomplished that on the cross, that is peace with God. And you and I are to maintain that by living under the reign and rule of God as we deal with one another. As tensions show up, we deal with it as opposed to sweeping it under the carpet. And so we don't become peace fakers. We become peacemakers. So a husband consistently comes home late after work and it bothers his wife, but she thinks that she's being like Christ by not saying anything at all, even though it bothers her. The Bible says that a wife shouldn't nag, and so she doesn't say anything and just let it ride. She's being, at that moment, a peacekeeper or a false peacemaker. An employee goes to lunch with coworkers, and they slander the boss. And because he doesn't want to kill the grill, the boss, mood, and atmosphere, he doesn't speak up. He's just trying to keep the peace. At that moment, he's being a peacekeeper and not a peacemaker. A woman is rethinking her decision to get engaged, and she's afraid her fiance and his family will get upset if she says, hey, I need to rethink this, or I need a little bit more time. But she doesn't say anything. She goes on with the wedding plans and even the wedding and doesn't say anything at all. She, at that moment, is being a peacemaker, a peacekeeper, and not a peacemaker. You see, the way of true peace will never come to the situation by pretending wrong is right and by pretending there's nothing there. You see, true peacemakers love God and love one another and love ourselves enough to actually disrupt false peace. We can't have true peace and the reign and rule of Christ through lies and pretense. So unresolved conflict is a sort of lie. It is a sort of pretense. It's a sort of kryptonite weakening the relationship. It is a source of this sense of where when I see tension, I need to deal with it, as Jesus says. And again, we know it's there, whether it's in your marriage or whether it's with a friend or whether it's at work, we know it's there, but we ignore it and pretend like it's not there. And I don't think we can experience the true peace of the reign of God in our lives if we are not dealing with it. Jesus actually came to disrupt false peace. Listen to what the text says. This is Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. It says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those in his own household." Now, when you look at this on the surface, you say, whoa, Jesus, you are a pretty bad character here. I thought you were loving and I thought you were kind. Well, what Jesus is actually saying here is that when you live for me and when you adopt my values, there will be a divergence of values with other people who are not following me. And it's going to feel like that Jesus is dividing our entire family. But that's not the case. Jesus says, I want to disrupt false peace so that I can give you real peace with God who created you to have a relationship with him, and true peace with your brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus is. That's the reason he came. That's the reason he died. That's the reason he gave his life for you and me. But there are times where we just walk around saying, like my relationship with my wife, Tanya, it's okay, but there are tensions there. Or my relationship with my kids is okay, but there are tensions there. Or there are relationships with my neighbors, and yet there's tension there. And Jesus says, no, I want to empower you to actually deal with the tension. When you don't, that is the kryptonite in your relationship. And what ends up happening is this: that little tension festers, and it festers into something larger, and it actually becomes irreparable in a sense. So Jesus says, I want you to go after it. And so Jesus brought disruption to false peace. He did not avoid conflict to appease people. He didn't ignore tensions that rose. And true peace will never, ever come by pretending that right is wrong. So the first reason is that we handle conflict poorly because we have the wrong idea of peacemaking. But there's a second reason why we handle conflict poorly, and that is the lack of training and the lack of equipping on how to have a clean fight. Some of us were never taught how to do it. It was modeled, dirty fighting was modeled before us, and that's all we know. And so one of the reasons why we just simply don't know, or we handle conflict poorly, is because we practice dirty fighting rather than clean fighting. It doesn't come automatically. You and I actually have to be equipped and trained and discipled into clean fighting. All right, so let me give you, so in your notes, we're going to ask the question, how then do we practice clean fighting so that we are true peacemakers and not just peacekeepers? All right, so I'm going to go through this list, and then we're going to actually model this, or at least we're going to attempt to model this. All right, here are the steps to clean fighting. Now, if you turn your bulletin over, you'll see the steps there. All right. So the first step is the person who has the issue with the other person asks for the clean fight. So if I have an issue with Tanya, or if Tanya has an issue with me, or if I have the issue with Tanya, I'm going to ask, hey, Tanya, hey, can we have a clean fight? Tanya has an issue with me. She's going to say, Marvin, can we have a clean fight? So that's the first thing. Get permission to have the clean fight. All right? That is honorable to the other person. Number two, state the problem like this. I notice and kind of talk about the behavior rather than the emotion. The behavior is what we're going after, not necessarily the emotion part, not just the emotion part. So state the problem. I notice, pick a concrete behavior that is not a strong, strong emotional issue. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Here's the third one. State why it's important to you. It's important to me because this is, I feel valued when you do. I value this because of this. And then number four, just fill in the following sentence stem. When you do this, I feel a certain way. And then number five, state your request clearly, respectfully, and specifically, including details, and say something like, I would rather that you do this rather than the other thing. Now, if you're the listener, consider all that's being said. Now, the other thing is you're going to be doing active listening as well. We're going to model this in a few minutes. Consider the request, and then are you willing to do all of it, some of it, or none of it, based on the request? And then you either agree to it, and then together you actually agree that this is how we're going to deal with this specific issue down the road. Now, we're going to try to model this. That's the steps. And I'm going to ask my wife to come up. Everybody, this is Tanya. All right. Now, you all need to pray for me because we wanted this to be as authentic as possible. I don't know the issue that she's bringing up. So I'm going to find out the issue the same time you find out the issue. She's going to ask for the clean fight because she has the issue with me. And we've not rehearsed this. I don't know what's in her mind. I hardly ever know what's in her mind. And so we're going to try to model. You look beautiful, by the way. We're going to try to model this clean fight. And because we were both raised with dirty fighting tactics. And this takes practice. And it's been 26 years, almost 27 years in July that we would have been married. And we are still practicing what it means to have a clean fight versus a dirty fight. Does this make sense? Just because Jesus is in our lives, I love what Pete and Jerry Scazzaro says, that just because that Jesus may be in your heart, but grandma is in your bones. And so every now and then, dirty fighting shows up. It's the reason that it's important that the Spirit of God be active in our lives. All right, so we're gonna practice. So I have no idea what you're going to say, so don't embarrass me. All right, no, I'm just kidding. So, all right, so let's rock and roll with it.
All right, so I just want to do a caveat right here that this is not a strong emotional issue, all right? So there's other ways to handle things that are intense, all right? So this is not a strong emotion.
But it can, if it's not dealt with, it can become something that's something that's a strong emotional issue.
All right, so can we have a clean fight?
Yes. I don't know. Well, yes, we can.
Okay. So I notice that you're not a fan of dogs. And so I have been wanting a dog for years. See?
You are so bad. This is not right. All right, go ahead.
And we had a bad experience. Well, okay, an experience with a dog when we were in Grand Rapids. Now, he was a puppy. So puppies have to be trained. And one of the things that was an error, we got the puppy in February. So it was snow. It was 20 degrees outside. And then he went to his business all in the house and stuff. And so, of course,
Okay. Just you ain't got to do all the background stuff.
Okay. Sorry. That's a woman. I'm sorry. I do that. It's important.
You're
going to
turn this.
I'm sorry.
Into a real issue right now. Yeah. So okay. Go ahead.
All right. So the issue is, I would like a dog. I would get a mature dog that would have more training, but a dog.
All right. So let me try to understand the thing that you've noticed. You've noticed that I'm not a fan of dogs. And there are reasons why I'm not a fan of dogs, but you've noticed that I'm not a fan of dogs. Right. And so how does that make you feel that I'm not a fan of dogs and have not gotten a dog, even though we've maybe talked about it years ago?
Right. So I feel that many times when I express it, that you forget that I have a nurturing spirit, and that now that the kids are older, I don't have anybody to nurture, and so a dog would help me fulfill that.
What about me? What about
yes,
me?
Okay. Yes.
All right. So let me get this right. So you've noticed that I'm not a fan of dogs, and you're saying that it may appear that I am not valuing your nurturing spirit, and so getting a dog could help your nurturing spirit now that the kids are a little bit older, and so that could help you value your nurturing spirit.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So So what's the... What's the...
What's the plan?
Yeah, what's the ask?
The ask is, can we get a dog?
All right, so we get to negotiate.
Yes, yes.
I don't know. I'm serious. I don't know if we can get a dog right now. We have busy lives. Mm-hmm. And... Okay. We have busy lives, and dogs cost a lot. Like, they got training. When we go out of town, you got to find a kennel, and you don't want to leave a dog with a friend, and the dog is not trained. You got to get insurance on a dog, if the dog gets sick. Like, seriously, I mean, these are a lot. Micah has allergies.
Right, but Micah doesn't live with us anymore.
What if we got, like, let's start with...
Half a dog.
No, not... How about if we start with, a fish?
No.
Okay. I'm really struggling.
I know. And I am okay with you struggling with that, but I just need you to know that I want a dog. And that this may be an ongoing discussion. It's not a yes or no, and I know it's for me it's clear, but for you it's not. So I'm gonna have to write it down. And so that's the advice that I would give when you're doing a clean fight, is that you take time to write down the other person's perspective, because many times when you are discussing, at least for me, I've already got in my head the plan, and so I'm not really listening to your plan. So, mine is the best plan.
So what can we agree to? And again, we're not ready to go out right now after church and get a dog. I'm saying we're not.
Oh.
And you brought this issue up in front of all these people.
Yep.
So can we agree to revisit this in say a few months?
Oh, okay.
Say a few months.
So I think what will help is to alleviate some of the apprehensions you have. So if we went and looked at mature dogs or had a plan to see how do other people do it when they go out of town, or how much does it cost? For whatever they eat and things like that.
We just got rid of kids who eat a lot. So this is what I hear the agreement could be, is that we would take time and we would go, number one, look at dogs.
Yes.
Not get one, just look
get
at
a
them.
Dog.
No, just look
at
them.
Dogs, right.
And then we would talk to people who have dogs.
Yes.
And see what their game plan.
Right. When they go out of town.
When they go out of town.
What do they do?
And so.
How do we train them?
How we train? Okay, so
it
we can.
Takes them for a walk.
So we can agree to that. We can begin looking at a possible plan, what it looks like to get a dog. Now, can I pick the dog? If we get a dog, can I pick the dog?
Well, would it have to be like a dog that we both want?
Well, I'm thinking like a Doberman, a Rottweiler.
Oh, okay.
No, okay, all right. So we'll agree that that's a later discussion.
Right.
But what we have a plan to go look at dogs. We have a plan to.
It could be a rescue.
Okay, we have planned to actually sit down with a couple or a few people to see how they do it, and then we'll continue. To look at possibly down the road getting a dog.
Yes.
So, all right. So let me ask. So thank you, number one. Thank you for actually being a good sport with this. And she hates being up here like this, but I really, really appreciate it. So let me ask, what was helpful about this process of clean fighting? Now, we need to say that this takes practice.
Yeah.
Practice, practice, practice. So let me ask, what was helpful about the clean fighting process?
Well, the thing that's helpful is that there are steps involved, and I'm very methodical, so I like to have steps. So, and then to progress from step A to B. The hard thing is listening, because that's why I say I would recommend that you have paper and pencil so that you can take notes, because I heard we got a dog, but I don't know.
We agreed.
So, right,
all
right,
we got to
right,
do is play
right,
the tape again.
Right,
play
right,
the tape
right,
again.
Right. I need pencil and paper.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And by the way, you do look beautiful. So. All right.
Thank you.
So again, as you practice this, it really does take practice. I had a young man come up to me after the first service, and he says, like I have a game plan on how I'm going to approach an employee on Tuesday. And I'm going to go through these steps to handle this particular situation. Friends, it takes time. And if we've been dirty fighting all of our lives, it's going to take just as much time and the power and presence of the Spirit of God to help us fight cleanly. Now, this might feel kind of wooden or kind of methodical, and when you do it the first time, you might laugh each other out of the room, and that's okay. Or, I don't want to do this. But the reality is this, is that we must be discipled in handling conflict well. Just as I have to be discipled in loving well and having peace and joy and patience and self-control, you and I have to be discipled in handling these kinds of things well as too. So again, that was not necessarily an emotionally charged issue. However, if I dismiss her value as a nurturer, her value as someone who says, how can I tap into how God has wired me? Then what's going to end up happening is she is going to think in her mind, I don't value her. And that can become seismic. And she can begin telling stories in her mind that Marvin doesn't care about me. And it was over the issue of a dog. And really, there was something deeper than just a dog. Does this make sense? This has been an ongoing practice for us. Just learning how to live like Jesus in relationship with each other. I can memorize all the verses I want to. I can sing all the hymns and songs I want to. I can even preach all the messages that I want to. But if I'm not valuing the person that I care about and love, and if this is not right or this is not right, it really doesn't matter how many songs I sing, how many verses I memorize, how much Bible I know. We express our love for God the way we express our love for people. That's all I have. I encourage you to go home and have a clean fight. Have a clean fight that honors God and honors the other person. And again, I chose for her to bring the issues. I have issues that I could have brought, but I chose that for her to bring the issues. And I'm quite sure there are more issues that she could have brought And so anyway, I thank you all. Man, love you all. Thank you for being a part of this series. And I hope this series has been beneficial to you. We hope the tools have been helpful for you. And I'm going to turn it back over to BT right now. BT, back to you, my friend.
Marvin, thank you so much. Thank you for another great tool that we can have in our tool belt here of relationships. Friends, I would ask, like, who is someone that you could share some of these concepts with this week? Maybe that's going home and rewatching this message with a spouse or someone that you're close to that you could pick up on these concepts with. Another thing I would ask, like, man, maybe journal some of this later today, right? Like, what do you think was helpful about this process? What was something that was difficult? And what blessing do you see on the other side of walking through those steps of having a clean fight? Take some time this afternoon or this week and have a little journal opportunity and think through some of those things. So that would be good. And think about who you can share this with. I hope you guys have a great afternoon. And, man, thank you again for joining us today. Get out there and enjoy that awesome afternoon, guys. We'll see you later.